I counted it up. This is our 10th week studying the Sermon on the Mount. My 7th, Pastor Mike did 3 while I was on sabbatical. We're getting towards the end. But let me begin first by setting this up, my thought process of this verse. In October, the end of October, I will leave for my 4th trip to the Grand Canyon, and we don't just go stand at the edge and stare in and take pictures. We actually put everything that we need for 4 days on our back and hike in and hike out. That doesn't make me more manly than all of you, just most. And it's an incredible trip, and this would be my fourth year going, and every year we go, and this week somebody asked me an interesting question. Like, then they were serious. They said, "Why do you keep going to the same place every year? Why wouldn't you go somewhere different?" And they were serious, and here was my response, and it made me think, why would I go to the same place every year? Here's why. Every year we do a different trail to the river and back. So every year, even though I'm in the same place, every year the trails are different, so therefore the experience is extremely different. Extremely different. For example, our first year we did the Grand View Trail, which took us to the Horseshoe Mesa. The Grand View Trail to the Horseshoe Mesa, and I have videos on YouTube if you want to know like how extreme certain ones are. Not pumping my YouTube channel because they all have like 3 hits, me, my mom, and my wife. So it's not like I need hits. I don't care. The Grandview Trail was intense. We thought it was slightly unmaintained. And so the next year, we did South Kaibab down to Bright Angel Campground, which partners in with Phantom Ranch. If you know anything about the Grand Canyon, Phantom Ranch is where they actually have cabins and steak dinners and a canteen and Wi-Fi and air conditioning and all this at the bottom of the canyon. It's insane. And we didn't get to stay there. We just got to wave at the people who did. You know, like they ride their donkeys to it. They stay in the cabins. And then they say, "We went to the bottom of the canyon." And they didn't really. They kind of cheated. But it's there. And then we went last year. We did the Hermit Trail. And it was intense enough. We went in April. We'll never do that again. One of our guys, we weren't expecting 105 degree heat index on the way down, and one of our guys got severely dehydrated to the point that we thought it could have been very much more serious than it turned out, and we were 5 miles into a 10-mile trail. We had to make a decision, hike downhill 5 more miles and get him water and rest it, or try to put his big tail on our backs along with our backpacks and try to hike him back out. We went down, and he survived, and he's still normal, and everything's good. And then this year we're doing the Tanner Trail, which is even less maintained. There's only one water source. It's the Colorado River. There's the risk, if the water level is not high enough, that won't even be a good water source. So every year we push ourselves a little more. Here's why I tell you, I want to get my frame of reference. Every year is different, but what we discovered is the tougher that the trail gets, the less people we see. Right? So when we did South Kaibab to Bright Angel Campground to back up the Bright Angel Trail, man, you saw people, especially in the first 2 or 3 miles, it was just hundreds of people we were passing. Everybody's like, "Why you got those big backpacks?" You know, all the tourists from Sweden, they got a water bottle and flip-flops. And we're like, "We're going to the Grand Canyon." You're like, "No, you have not. Why do you need the big backpack?" Yeah, that's not a good Swedish accent, I know, but I was like, I don't know where. It's more Indian, I think, you know, and you know, whatever. Wherever they were from, that's what they sounded like. And they, like, a lot of matching shirts, like matching these people from other countries who have, like, matching Hawaiian shirts. Isn't this sad? This is what you learn what other countries think of us. Like, they came to America, so they bought their American tourist shirts, and they're like these bright orange Hawaiian flowery shirts. No kidding. We got pictures of all these people. It's amusing. And you see them the first 2 to 3 miles, very wide, somewhat flat, and they go. But as you go deeper, we kept seeing people. There was a line to use the bathroom at Bright Angel Campground, and there were actual bathrooms. This was amazing. You know, we had a campground with actual bathrooms. What we found, though, is Hermit Trail, we saw a couple of other people. We spent 2 nights, just me and one other guy, on top of the Horseshoe Mesa down the Grandview Trail, 2 nights all alone. The only other human in that area of the Grand Canyon was a guy I was backpacking with. It was that remote because the trail was that difficult. And what I learned is the tougher the trail gets, the less people really want to jump on it. Now, take that for what it's worth. I want you to hear, when I read these scriptures, my frame of reference is a literal frame of reference, that the tougher the trail, the less the people. And so then we read, and as we're getting towards the end of Jesus' sermon, he then talks about this concept. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad. Enter the AC/DC cue right there, right? The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide for many who choose that way, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few will ever find it. Now, because of what we've become accustomed to in our modern way of hearing sermons, and I'm guilty of this as well, we have this modern way of hearing sermons. And so what we think then, if this is one sitting, Jesus teaches a sermon on the mount, then you'd think that what he's doing now is he's coming to the conclusion. He's about to make this emotional appeal and then call us to respond. But I would challenge you to hear this differently than that, because I don't think this is so much of an invitation as it is a continuation. All right? So he's coming to the end, but it doesn't mean that he's wrapping it up. He's been giving us things through this whole thing. Love your enemies, right? Have the right attitude about people. Love your enemies. He says, when you pray like this, right? He says, don't give what is holy to the dogs. Do not judge other people. He said, ask and seek and knock. It's a doing thing. He says, do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. And then he says, enter the narrow gate. This is more a continuation than an invitation. These aren't suggestions or hopes. These are commands. And he doesn't change it. When he says, enter the narrow gate, he's not changing his tone. He's giving a command. He's reaching out to these people. He's not giving them an option. He's not giving them a suggestion and hoping they'll choose. He's actually urging me and you and the people listening. He's urging us to take the hard way. Go through the narrow gate. Walk the narrow path. Because the reality is, in life, there's two ways. I believe there's two ways. And according to what Jesus said, there's two ways. You have right and you have wrong. You have good and you have evil. There's a way to heaven and a way to hell. Okay? These are the two ways. The reality is, every one of us is walking down one of these ways. And Jesus makes that pretty clear in his words. He says to them, there's two paths. One is wide, one is narrow. One's easy, one's more difficult. All of us who are humans are walking. We're either saints or sinners. We're either godly or ungodly. These are our options. And Jesus tells them, if your godliness, if your path hasn't changed you, if your path is not difficult, then perhaps you're not on the right path. He actually is saying this, and I love it. Pastor Mike and I collaborate a lot on notes, and I'll have him send me, and he sent me this line, and I want to give him credit, because I don't know where he got it from, but we'll give him credit today. And yeah, he says it's me. He doesn't even know what I'm going to say yet. Pastor Mike sent me this in his thoughts, that easy Christianity is no Christianity at all. And that's not a lot of times what we sign up for. You even remember sending it to me? Okay, good, because easy Christianity is not Christianity at all. But that's not what we're taught a lot of times, right? That's not what we sign up for. This journey of being covered in the dust of the rabbi, of walking so closely to Jesus that we'd be covered in his dust, it's going to be challenging. Jesus says it. And we've said all along that what Jesus is saying in the Sermon on the Mount is so simple to understand. There's really no life-changing words here. Because it's so simple to understand, but it's the application that's life-changing. The difficulty comes when we apply this to our life. And Jesus actually says to them, there's two gates. And then he goes on to predict what people are going to do. He said, only a few of you are going to take the way that I'm explaining to you in my sermon. But many of you will choose the wide gate. The reason it's wide, because so many people are going through it. Almost like the number of people going through it have busted some of it down to expand it. Many of you, the gate is wide because so many of you, and Jesus with this statement and these two lines here that we see, he actually divided everybody within the sound of his voice and everybody who's going to read this, like us today and in future generations, he divided everybody into two crowds. because there's two ways. And the many, and what do the many do? They'll follow the path of ease, the path of being self-indulgent and being selfish. It doesn't matter where it ends, it's just easy. And then there's the few. And the few are focused so much on their eternal security that they're going to follow it to get there, no matter what the cost. They're going down the narrow. Here, let's talk about the wide gate and the narrow gate. Let's talk shortly about the wide gate. The wide gate is open all the time, 24 hours, 365. The wide gate stands open for who to enter? Everyone. It's open to everyone. There's no cover charge. There's no entry exam. There's no standard for entrance. There's not even any restraints once you enter. It's wide. It's free. It's like the 70s, man. You know, it's like everybody, come on. Everybody's welcome. And there's plenty of company there. There's plenty of people. There's larger crowds. The path is smooth. The path is easy. To me, it's the Bright Angel Trail, and I can actually visualize having to ask tourists, excuse me, because we're almost to the top. I hadn't had a shower in 5 days and a real meal in 5 days. I need to get by because the crowd was so large. But Matthew Henry says, but what profit is there in being willing to go to hell with others because they will not go to heaven with us? Sometimes it's not always right. I mean, we tell our kids, right? If your friend jumped off a bridge, would you jump with them? Right? The crowd doesn't matter. Sometimes going with the crowd is the most dangerous thing that we can do. And this righteousness of the kingdom that Jesus keeps describing, he's given us the principles, he's given us the details to be the righteousness of the kingdom. He describes it for us, and what it requires is self-sacrifice. At every step, it requires self-sacrifice in every turn. And so what's happening is the crowd who's listening and now us who's reading, we see that everything Jesus is describing to us requires sacrifice of selfishness. It requires self-sacrifice, and many in the crowd are going to choose a gate that's wide, and they're going to choose a path that's easy, and they're never going to face this self-sacrifice ever. But you understand, we have to face it. We understand it's a must because he goes on, he doesn't leave it there. He goes on and says, you have to face it because the consequences, is that a word, consequences? Yeah, consequences. The consequences are they're eternally fatal. So he gives us another option. There's a narrow gate. And there's a narrow road and a more difficult road. The entry fee was great. The expectations are pretty strict. And at times the path gets difficult. And this is how Jesus describes it. But here's the beautiful thing. And I want you to see this. And let's not lose sight. And let this become a works versus faith-based thing. This is our works because of our faith in what Jesus did thing. See, Jesus paid our entry fee. With his grace and with his love and with his sacrifice on the cross, he paid our entry fee. It was great. It cost him his life so that we could enter into this narrow gate and begin this narrow path journey. What unlocks the gate? Our faith. Our faith in what Jesus completed for us on the cross then unlocks a gate so that we can enter through this narrow gate. But when we choose the narrow gate, when we choose to walk the narrow path, it means that we have to go against our number one human instinct. I've said it numerous times. Anybody have an idea what our number one human instinct is? Follow the crowd. I would say it's selfishness. Our number one human instinct is selfishness. I want to do what I want to do. I want to go where I want to go. I want to have what I want to have. I want to live what makes me feel good, even if it's temporary and even if in the morning I'll have a headache and be vomiting. I want to do what I want to do. I want to act how I want to act. This is ingrained in us. Look how Eve messed the whole thing up for all of us, right? Like, it's ingrained, and Adam came along too. But he messed the whole thing up. Why? Because of selfishness. Look at your children. Did you teach them to say mine? Or are you, if you have young children, are you not spending all your time teaching them to stop saying mine? You didn't teach them that. It's ingrained in them, right? It's part of who we are as human nature is to be selfish, and we've got to understand that just because we had faith in Jesus and we entered through the gate, we're not in heaven. We don't enter the gate into heaven. What we do is we go through the gate so that we can enter onto the path. It's at that point, in faith, opening the gate. Now we found the trailhead of our new journey. And now we're there. At the Grand Canyon, we have to drive in through a gate. We have to pay to park and get our maps and all that. And then we have to make a little bit of a journey to get to the trailhead. Another reason we don't see a lot of people on the tougher trails is because they're not clearly marked and they're not right there at the souvenir shack. You actually have to walk to get to where you want to walk. And that part stinks. Especially when you think you're done and you come out and you're like, whoo, finished after this 1 mile walk back to the car. Because it's a difficulty factor. And Jesus said that the narrow gate is what leads you to the trailhead of this journey with Christ. He says it all through. Self must be denied. Our body, look at all scriptures. Our body has to be kept under control. The urges of our physical, our daily temptations. Remember we prayed last week, not that he removed temptations, because temptation will always be there, but that he makes us strong against temptations. And so our daily temptations have to be resisted. And then there's this godly purpose that he's not going to pick up our feet and he's not going to move our hands. We actually have to live out this godly purpose that he's created for us. See, this narrow path is tough. This way to eternal life, this narrow path, it's the path less traveled for a reason. There's a reason that many will choose the wide gate. There really is, because there's difficulty here. We've got to keep out a close eye for where we're going. We've got to be cautious on where we put our feet. We've got to take every step carefully. At times there's going to be tribulation. At times there's going to be difficulties. At times it gets very narrow and steep. And this journey is not really, it's not the easy one by any means. But I want you to see today that this way should be the way. It should be the path that seems most inviting to us. Why? Because I just painted it in a pretty negative light, didn't I? I just painted it in a way of like, hey, maybe I will take the wide. Maybe the wide is my way. Why would we even consider the narrow path? Here's why. Because the narrow gate, the narrow path is what leads us to life. There's a certain comfort in knowing that I'm walking in God's favor every day of my life. This brings life to my soul. I mean, allows me to sing, "It is well with my soul." It is what? Did you even pay attention to the words we just sang, or is it just the old hymn that you sang at grandma's church? I mean, because he took all of our sins and he nailed them to the cross. So therefore, I can say, it is well with my soul. And even in the worst days, I can still say, because of Jesus, it is well with my soul. This is life to my soul, that I can walk in comfort knowing that I'm in the favor of God. That every day I'm walking a narrow path and I'm striving to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, and I have comfort knowing that I'm in the favor of God. And beyond that, beyond when you take your last breath here on earth, there's an eternal expectation. There's a destination we strive for, and it's heaven. And there's something about knowing that everything you face here on earth one day disappears. I'm getting older, apparently. We're almost 40. My wife tells me not to tell people that, but we are. We're almost 40, and random things happen. Like, I woke up this morning, and my back hurts. I have no explanation. I really don't. Like, I went to sleep. Sometimes I wake up, and I can't walk. She said, "What'd you do to your foot?" I slept. I'm convinced she's twisting. I'm a pretty heavy sleeper. She's twisting, kicking, or elbowing or something. But there's something going on that when I lay down at night, I'm good. And when I wake up in the morning in this older age that I'm, and Todd, you can probably help me on what really happens when I get really old like you. But this idea that as I'm getting older, Brian, you can help me too. As I'm getting older, right, things start happening that I can't explain. And I woke up this morning and I thought, I just want to lay in bed. Oh, yeah, I have to work today. It's the one day of the week I have to work. I have to go to church because I can't. And it changed everything, how you drive, and even like you can't tell, but I'm like standing different because my back hurts. But there's something about being able to look and say there's this expectation of eternity that's coming, that all this goes away. One day I do nothing but sit in the presence of God, and there's that. Kind of changes my whole mindset about today, doesn't it? It should. At least one person should have at least smiled on that one, because there is the eternal expectation of what's to come if we follow the narrow path. There's consequences. When we ignore the words of Jesus, when we choose not to walk through the gate that he opened with his grace, with his forgiveness, with his love, the consequence is eternal separation. But there's this reward for those who choose to follow Jesus, to be covered in the dust of the rabbi, to walk out the purpose, to walk out the direction for my earthly life. And that's eternal presence with God. We'll always be in the presence of God for eternity. Look again at Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Two verses. If I had told you I was only preaching two verses, you'd have thought the sermon would be short. But it's not. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, it says, "You can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad, and the gate is wide for many who choose that way, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few ever find it." There's this very popular thought, this very popular illustration. We've spoke on it here, and Pastor Mike sent it in his notes, and it jarred my memory back. I hear it often. Maybe you do, maybe you've never heard it, that there's this idea that God sits at the top of a mountain, right? And the way that we make it to God is through a path to God, but everybody's on a different path. We get this physical picture, almost like what we see here. We got God's there, the top of the volcano thing, right? And there's multiple paths that lead us to the top. Now, it's not my job to judge which path you choose to take to God. Anybody ever seen this or heard this concept? It's all around you. It kind of permeates the thoughts of most of society. We're all on our journey to God. You go your way, I'll go to mine. I wish it was that. I do. Hear me. If it was that simple, man, I that would make this so much easier. Because I'd just tell you how good God is and pray that you all find some sort of path to get to Him. But Jesus was very specific, and if we're going to teach Scripture and all of Scripture, then we have to go with what Jesus said. So if you don't like this, I get it, I understand. If you disagree with it, I get it, I understand. But hear me, I'm really just trying to read the Scripture and let you hear what Jesus said. Jesus said there's only one way to enter into the kingdom, and the gate is narrow, and the road is tough. There's many who are taking a lot of other paths, and they're not leading to the top of the mountain. They're leading in the opposite direction. They're going downhill instead of up, if we need that visual picture, that word picture. And so there's really two choices. There's a way to heaven, and there's a way to hell. And this popular thinking that you climb the mountain, but according to the words of Jesus, this is so off base. Many would say that there are multiple paths, but Christianity is different. What Jesus said is so different. Here's why it's unique. Because in Christianity, what we hear, what Jesus is saying is this. Not that carve your own path to the top of the mountain. What he's saying is God loved you so much that he sent Jesus, his son, down the mountain to you. So that you never actually have to climb. Think about that. This is forgiveness. This is grace. This is the love of a God who sent his only son, Jesus, to die on the cross so that we would never be separated from him. So that we would not perish but have eternal life. And God sent Jesus down the mountain. And so when we talk about gates and we talk about paths, we need to understand Jesus is the one. He entered the gate through the universe so that he could enter the earth and walk the earth and then walk a path of death and of sacrifice and of resurrection so then that we don't have to climb the mountain at all. God came down the mountain for us. Jesus brought all of his righteousness. He brought all of his perfection. He brought all of his holiness and all of his humanity, and he gave it to God for as a sacrifice for everything I've done and everything I'll ever do. Jesus died on the cross so that we could have union, so we could have restoration with God. He died so who could be saved? All could be saved. How though? Through faith. And so just because Jesus died doesn't mean you get heaven. It means that heaven is available to all. This would make my job so much easier if I could say, Jesus died. Amen. Let's pray. But Jesus died so that we could make a choice of one of two paths, that we would either be walking towards him or be walking away from him. And when we choose to enter the narrow gate, when we choose to walk this narrow path, we're actually following a Savior who's already gone before us. He's been there, done that, got the scars in his hands to prove it. And we're not forging a new path to God. We're not walking into uncharted territories in hopes that maybe God will be at the end. What we're doing is we're following the love, one who loved us so much that he sent Jesus so that all would believe in him could have eternity with him. And I want to kind of close in my thoughts on this scripture as I was studying through and reading through. I think there's two ways that these words of Jesus, maybe three, but we'll put it into two, should challenge you today. Different groups of people, different people from different backgrounds, different mindsets. Some have come from a more legalistic standpoint, and man, this is right up your alley, isn't it? Turn or burn, get right or get left, you know? Like, hallelujah, amen. You got the bumper sticker to prove it. Some are more liberal, some are more skeptic, and wherever you come from, I would hope that these words of Jesus, and I just want to share them with you and we'll pray, that they would challenge us today. It's how they challenge me. Let me say it that way. This is how these words of Jesus challenged me this week as I was really digging in. Number one is man, when we enter the narrow gate, we've got to be reminded that we're just beginning the journey. To enter the narrow gate is not just enough. We now have to walk the journey. And I did youth ministry for a long time, like way too many years. That's what's wrong with me, is I spent too much time with too many teenagers, right? Yeah, as a principal, you understand, right? And it just messes with your brain. And what I would see was a lot of one-time, quick decisions. Because if I ask you, do you want to go to heaven or go to hell, I would think that 99.999% of rationally thinking people say, I don't want to go to hell. Sounds hot, sounds terrible, don't like to sweat, don't like whatever. I don't want to go to hell. I'll take heaven. I'll enter the narrow gate. But I wanted you to be challenged today that just entering the narrow gate, that's your step of faith, but then there's this journey that we walk that takes us there. Again, not works versus grace. It's works because of grace, okay? Because Jesus opened the door for us, now our works follow and our path follows, and we're just beginning this journey of holiness. We've got to work to stay on the right path. We've got to question constantly and trouble ourselves over, are we following in the footsteps of Jesus? And then the second thing is this. There's so many. When I read that there are many walking down the wide path, this should break your heart. It really should break your heart. I realize that selfishly, because that's our number one human instinct, I'm trying to figure out, am I following Jesus? But listen to it. It says, many. I mean, there are many. And the road is wide because there's so many who are on the wrong path. When I see that there's the path is wide and the gate is wide and there are many who are following in the opposite direction and they're not leading towards God, they're actually stepping into eternity of separation with God in hell, it should break our hearts. It should lead you to a form of action like never before to understand that many of those you work with, many of those maybe in your family, many of those in your neighborhood, they're actually heading in a direction that's opposite of God. That's what Jesus said, many. And this should break the heart of us Christians. Those who call yourself a follower of Christ and a Christian, it should crush you. It should break your heart. It should lead you to action, to want to know and to see, who can I be light? Who can I be salt? Who can I be influenced to? Let's pray.